So today in the second reading of Parshas Re'eh, which is chapter 12, from verse 11 onward, the Torah talks about Yerushalayim. Never is the name Yerushalayim mentioned by name. It's only we have the idea of V'hoyah ha'mokim asher yivcha Hashem elokeichem bei, the place that Hashem is going to choose. The Sifsi Koyanim says that if you look carefully throughout Chumash Devarim, you'll find no less than four times the concept of Yerushalayim mentioned. Each time, of course, mentioned in code, the idea of Hamakom Asher Yivchar. But he says this is in part because the Jewish people had various places where they were able to establish the Shekhinah, and then there's the future. So the Shach says there's Mishkan Shiloh, which is the first semi-permanent place, the first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, and in Meretz Hashem, here we have an allusion and a reference to the third Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah speaks about Hashem's presence being specifically in Yerushalayim. The Torah talks about offerings being brought specifically in the Beis HaMikdash. And of course, that ends up being Yerushalayim. This is the place we will come together to rejoice and to celebrate. This is the place where Am Yisrael will gather three times a year and bring its Yom Tov, its offerings of the holidays. And then we say in verse 13, Hishamar Lecha, Torah warns you, Pentala Elosecha B'chol Mokim, lest you bring your offerings in any other place, Asher Tira, any other place that you might see. Let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean, any other place you might see? So Rashi says, here the Torah speaks about a positive mitzvah. The positive mitzvah is V'hevesim Sham, you should bring the offerings there, or as it's written just before, Shama Taviyu, that's where the offerings shall be brought. That's what we said earlier. And here the Torah uses a negative expression, and that's in order, Litein Loisasei Al HaDavar, because sometimes there are things which are appropriate, and the Torah encourages you to do, or instructs you to do. That's called a mitzvah sasei, that's called a positive mitzvah. And oftentimes that can be coupled with the Torah's negative mitzvah. You should do this, you should not do that. Here the Torah turns this into not only a positive, but also a negative. B'chol makam ashatira, every place that you see, what does it mean every place you see? Why every place you see? Just say every place. So Rashi says it doesn't mean physical seeing, it means ashayalo belibcha, something that will come into your heart. You'll have a feeling that this is a holy place. It will be appropriate that this kind of place you should bring an offering. Maharal of Prague, in explaining Rashi, he says, they're not talking about riyah chushi, it's not talking about literal seeing. It's talking about, you know, sometimes people see things. They think they see things. They feel very strongly about a certain thing. And this comes, of course, to exclude somebody who does see through the powers of prophecy. Like when Eliyahu HaNavi told us to offer in Har HaKarmel, that was the right thing to do. But with the exception of a prophetic vision, if it's just Asher Tira Belibcha, you know, people say, I have a feeling, I think this is a good thing to do. That's not good enough. Aval Ata Makrev Al Pi Navi. You may bring it according to a Navi. For example, Eliyahu B'Har HaKarmel. Moving right along, Ki, where should the offerings be brought? Ki Im only, B'mokem Asher Yivchar Hashem, in the place that Hashem chooses, B'Achad Shvatecha, in one of your tribes, Shom Ta'ala Oilesecha. That's where your offerings, that's where your ascent offerings should be brought. That's where you should bring all of these things that I command you. Rashi says, "Ba'achad shvatecha." This refers to bechelke shel Binyamin. This refers to the portion of Binyamin, and that's because even though the city of Yerushalayim, as a rule, is in the territory of Yehuda, but the Har Habayis is in a peninsula that juts out from the territory of Binyamin. Ulamailahu Omer, and earlier he says, "Mikol shivtechem." From all of your tribes. So this seems to be a contradiction. On one hand, it says that the offering should be brought in a place that belongs to all of your tribes. On the other hand, we emphasize the idea of be'achad shvatecha, one of your tribes. How do we seem to reconcile that contradiction? So Rashi explains, mikol shevtechem al-ketzad, how does this work? Kishakona David is hagerdin, when David brought the threshing grounds, which later becomes what we call harabayit, me'aravna hayavusi, from Aravna the Jesuvite, Gova Hazahov Mikol HaShvatim. He was very, very careful to collect money from everybody equally, from all the Shvatim. Everybody made an equal contribution, and with this, he bought the Har HaBayis. And in doing so, the Har HaBayis didn't actually belong to any particular tribe. It wasn't paid for by any particular tribe. It was something that everybody paid for equally. All of the tribes participated. Everybody was able and was supposed to give. So it was Mikol Shvatecha, from all of your tribes. Umikol Makim, but nonetheless, Hagodin, the actual threshing ground, Hayu bechelke shel Binyamin, was in the threshing area. That threshing ground area was in a peninsula that did actually attribute itself to the tribe of Binyamin. The Baal HaTurim very interestingly says Shevatecha is the gematria Shevet Yehuda, because the area is Shevet Yehuda. David HaMelech city is Shevet Yehuda. Anyway, at any rate, so it's surrounded by Yehuda, it juts in from Binyamin, but ultimately the Beis HaMikdash, Har HaBayis, belongs to everybody. And of course, the notion of giving Chas V'Shalom Har HaBayis away is ridiculous, because nobody has the right of Har HaBayis without getting the consensus of every single Jew in the world, and that's impossible. So that's one of the great tragedies of our time. Anyway, moving right along, so we now know that offerings have to be brought only in the Beis HaMikdash. The truth is that there were times when it was heter bamis, there were times that private offerings were allowed to be brought. For example, when they first came to Eretz Yisrael, those first 14 years, and there were a number of other periods throughout our early history that heter bamis was permitted, that they were allowed to bring individual offerings. This later was outlawed once we come to Yerushalayim. Once we come to Yerushalayim, it's full stop. Never, ever allowed to be brought anywhere else. What if I want to eat meat? Where's the beef? So the Torah says now, if you desire, no problem. You can go ahead and you can slaughter meat, like the blessing that Hashem gives you. The one who is ritually pure, the one who is ritually impure, makes no difference. Everybody can eat it together. What does this mean? What are we emphasizing when we say the pure and the impure? Why are we emphasizing Ketzvi Yuchayil? So let's take a look now in Rashi. Rashi says, B'chol avas nafshecha, with your whole soul's desire, what do we speak of here? Earlier we spoke about the Beis HaMikdash, but offerings being brought only in the Beis HaMikdash, no longer could you have any private offerings. Now the Torah says, B'chol avas nafshecha, B'me'akos of medaber, what is verse 15 referring to? Im bivsar taiva, if it refers to a behema, an animal which was slaughtered, not for the purpose of a carbon, la'atid olahem, to permit this for them, b'le'a hakravas emurim, without offering anything to on the Beis HaMikdash, harehu emer, he already says it, b'makam acher. Later on, we're going to have this idea. We're going to take a look at that pasuk in a moment. It says, "Ki yarchav Hashem elikecha," as gvul chavan Hashem is going to expand your borders. V'amarta oichol basar. A person will say, "I want to eat meat." Bameze medaber. What's this talking about? So Rashi says, this is talking about bekodshim shenafel behemum. We speak here about a behema, an animal that was consecrated for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Mizbeach. However, it became blemished. A blemished animal cannot be brought as a korban, and therefore sheyupadu v'yachlu b'chol makim, it can be redeemed and eaten in every place. Yochel, you might think, yupadu al mum oiver, that you can, so to speak, buy the animal back or redeem it, even if it's a passing blemish. Talmud Lema, the Torah says, no, rak only. And rak comes to, so to speak, limit. It's always an exclusionary. Rak is only, we exclude everything else, and only specifically this. Tizbach ve'achalta, Rashi says, ve'ein l'cha bahem hete giza v'cholof. If it was an animal that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, you cannot use it to shear the animal, you can't use the wool, you can't use the milk, el rak achila, ayadei zvicha. If you want, that animal can be eaten. Hator v'atomi yachad, why do we have to talk about the idea of a tor and a tomi together? Rashi says, you might think that this animal was an offering, it can't be made ritually impure, not correct, doesn't matter. It could, if it made ritually impure, that's not a problem. Chay aluchatzvi, it could be eaten like anything else, means the zroya luchayayim in the keva. The special parts which are usually given to the kohenim are going to be exempted over here, since this was to begin with a korban. But, the Torah says, rakadam lo sechelu, do not eat the blood. That must be spilled out, so to speak, on the earth like water. Rashi says, even though I told you this animal is not going to be offered in the Mizbeach, so his blood will not be dashed on the Mizbeach as it is with a typical korban, nonetheless, it cannot be eaten. And also, in addition to the idea that it cannot be eaten, the Beinu Miyuchas emphasizes that it cannot be spilled in rivers and it should not be spilled into vessels, because this was a manner of the ancient idolaters, and therefore the blood is spilled. We don't revere the blood. The blood is used in the Mizbeach, that's one thing. Otherwise, blood is spilled in the earth, and that's the end of the story. The Torah goes on to say in verse 17, you're not allowed to eat in your own gates. Your own gates means outside of Yerushalayim, the Maiser, the tithes that are brought from your grain. From your olive from your wine vats and from your olive presses, ubechayres bekarcha, and the firstling of your animals, v'tzeinuch v'chol nidarech asher tider, anything which you bring as a vow, v'nidveisech v'trumas yadcha, anything which is brought as a promise or a vow, as an offering, or anything which is brought as a truma, which Rashi will explain is the idea of bikurim, all of this has to be brought before Hashem in Yerushalayim. Ki, verse 18 continues, lefnei Hashem alekecha, before the Lord your God, teichlena, you'll eat it b'makim asher yivcha, the place that God chooses, Hashem alekecha, boi ata uvincha uvitecha v'avdecha, there you, your son, your daughter, your servant, your maidservant, v'alevi asher b'sharecha, and the Levite who is in your gates, v'somachta lefnei Hashem alekecha b'chol mishlach yadecha, you'll rejoice before Hashem in everything that you have received. So here we have an emphasis on Yerushalayim, offerings only in Yerushalayim, not to be brought outside of Yerushalayim. If you have an animal that was going to be an offering, it became blemished, it can be redeemed, and then it can be eaten once again outside Yerushalayim. But otherwise, anything which is not connected to this must always be eaten in Yerushalayim. And the Torah, since it's talking about Yerushalayim, and it's talking about all the eating you'll do over there, the Torah reminds you, Yishar Melucha Pentazavas HaLevi Kol Yemecha, never abandon the Levi all your days, Kol Alad Masecha, on your land, because the Levite is going to come. He doesn't have the fields, the vineyards, the olive groves. He's not going to be able to have the enjoyment that you have. If you want to have the food to eat that you have to eat, make sure to invite him to your Yom Tov meal. And now the Torah turns to eating meat. Ki Yarchav Hashem Alekecha Esgevulcha. Well, now we have, so to speak, Beis HaMikdash recedes into the background. The offerings, the korbanos, are a subject we put aside. And now we talk about regular meat eating. When Hashem broadens your borders, kasher dibaloch, as He had promised you, v'amarta, and you say, echle basar, I'd like to eat some meat. Why? Kisavanavshcha, you desire the meat. No, then it's no special mitzvah. You're not under any duress, you're not under any responsibility to meat. You want to eat meat, just like that. It's a desire I have. Lechol basar tip meat, b'chol avas nafshecha, techol basar. As they say in French, eskazutereit. You have a desire? Go ahead, eat meat. Eat meat as per your desire. Rashi says, what's going on over here? So ki yarchiv, this idea of the borders being broadened and widened, and you being established in Eretz Yisrael, here we're going to speak about the concept of eating meat on a normative basis. And the first thing the Torah is teaching you is limda teira derech eretz. The Torah is teaching you how a mensch lives. You don't say, oh, I desire meat, when you can't afford it. When you have rachvas yadayim, you have a little bit of room, you're able to, borders are secure, everything's fine, that's the time for a barbecue. There's some people who live always, you know, on the edge, and they have to have luxuries they can't afford, and whether they do have the money in the bank or don't have it, they gotta have it, they gotta live, they gotta fulfill the taiva. That's not an appropriate way to live. Can't afford it, you can't afford it. But assuming everything is good and you're living in affluence, you can't afford it. Fine, you could afford it. Gesundheit, you don't have to live a life of material deprivation. You can have meat. B'chol avas nafshecha, that's fine. Rashi says, aval, what's the chiddush here? What's the novelty? You want to eat meat? Eat meat. The Torah has to tell me if I want to eat meat, eat meat. Does the Torah tell me if I want to take a suntan, take a suntan? Why is the Torah telling me eat meat? If I want to eat meat, I'll eat meat. The Torah told me it's kosher, so it's kosher. What's the issue? Rashi says, because Bamidbar in the desert, Nesolehem Psarchulun, they were actually not allowed to eat meat that was not consecrated unto the Mizbech. Elohim Kain Magdisho Makriva, the only meat that anybody ever ate in the desert was only if they brought a korban. You bring a korban shlama, you bring a korban which has part of it that goes to the Mizbech and part of it goes to the owner, that's when they ate meat. Outside of that, there was not just eating meat like that. No such thing. Meat was always a sacred endeavor. If you wanted to eat meat, the serious thing was based on Midrash related, eating was a mitzvah, and that's the only kind of meat that was permitted. However, Hashem says that was in the Midbar. You come to Eretz Yisrael, enjoy your barbecue. Gesundheit, you can have meat as much as you want. And the Torah says even further, if this place that God has chosen to place His name will be far from you. You can slaughter your cattle or your sheep that God has given you, as you were commanded. You don't have to go to the Yerushalayim to get a piece of steak. You don't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash to eat meat. You can eat in your own gates, as your heart desires. Rashi says, the Torah is explaining to you, why is it that meat is permitted anywhere? Why is it that meat was not permitted in the desert, and now here in Eretz Yisrael, you can eat wherever you are? So the Rashi says the simple reason is, people would never eat meat otherwise. They'd eat three times a year. Well, they'd be far away from you. Every time you want to eat meat, you're going to go to Yerushalayim? It's ridiculous. In the Midbar, everybody was right there. You want to eat meat, bring a korban. You can't bring a shlomim every day. And the mishkan ha'ilichimachon, the mishkan is right with you. You want to bring meat? No problem. You just take it, you bring it over there. However, now pardon me. It's not like kumay achshav that the mishkan is with you. So therefore, because of this, v'zavachta v'goymer kasher tzivisicha, you can slaughter as I commanded you. And from here, lomadnu, this teaches us, yes, tzivoy bezvicha, that there was a commandment to slaughter an animal ritually. Heich yishchet, how you should slaughter. Because interestingly, there is no pasuk of the Torah that openly tells us that you should go and slaughter an animal. And there are no verses of the Torah that tells how to slaughter an animal, even though it's an enormously intricate part of halacha. And people who do this are big experts in halacha. The Torah doesn't mention it. It's all halacha l'meishim v'sinei. It's all oral Torah. So we don't know how to shecht. V'hein hilchas shechita. These are the laws of shechita. Nemru. They were said al peh l'meishim v'sinei. All given over orally from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So now we know that a person, if wants to eat beef, can eat beef. No problem. There's no issue to eat beef. The only thing is the Torah says you should make sure you could afford it. And if you want to eat meat, gesuntahet, go right ahead. Very different than things were in the Midbar. And the simple reason we learn in Rashi, Hashem wants you to have an opportunity to eat meat, and it just was not practical. So God gave us a practical way to eat meat. He says, just slaughter it, do the right thing, and everything's fine. And of course, we might well ask the question, is there not anything deeper to that? In the Midbar, they didn't eat meat, and outside the Midbar, they did eat meat, like just like that. It's just a question of convenience, just because here you could, so why bother making it permissible? Here you couldn't because you're far away. Hashem has to make it permissible. There's nothing deeper than that. There's nothing more profound going on over here. And the answer is, there is, Baruch Hashem. There is. But for this, you have to look at the book of Purim. And the Rebbe has a fascinating piece over here based on Teirus HaChassidus, on the spiritual teachings of Chassidus. We can revisit this idea and see it through an illuminated perspective. Page Kuf Samach Zayin. Simon Yud Gimel and Parsha Srei. Yesh levayiras hasiba lahalacha zu. We could explain the reason for this halacha. We have a pshuto shel mikra reason. It's fine. But the Rebbe says, we're going to explain the reason for this halacha al pi pnimius hanyanim, based on the mystical and spiritual dimension of Torah. And here it goes. B'tkufas shohusam shel bnei Yisrael b'midbar. For the time that the Jewish people were in the desert, hem hayu minutakim mi'inyanei ha'elam. They lived lives that were largely separated, in fact, disconnected from worldly matters. They were living in clouds of glory. And chayehem loy hayu chaye ruach v'loy chaye chomer. They lived lives of spirit, not lives of materialism. As I said, surrounded by the clouds of glory, they didn't go shopping. They didn't have to. Food in general was spiritual. Even their food was man, lechem and hashamayim. So even food they didn't eat, like normal food. They were living a totally spiritual existence. But matzav kazeh, in such a situation, why would you eat meat? What's the point of eating meat? So usually we say we eat meat in order to elevate the meat. There's sparks of godliness. You eat the meat, then you elevate it. When you're in the business of elevating things, when you're engaging with the world around you, what are you supposed to do with the world when you engage? Not only make sure it doesn't bring you down, but also you should in turn bring it up. But we weren't doing that. We weren't engaging at all. So why would you eat meat for? You could only bring it down. What's the point? Basar l'shem taiva? Just because you desire? That's not a good enough reason. Oichla basar ki tava nafshecha lecho. Basar, in the language of the Torah, eat meat because you desire to eat meat. Ha basar ha-yochid shehuter lecho. The only basar that could be eaten was b'midr, was b'sar kachem. B'sar kachem is not about elevating the meat per se. When you're going to eat the meat and then learn Torah and do mitzvahs, and in doing so, you elevate the kosher meat that you ate before. That's how we elevate meat on a regular basis. It's a kosher animal, so it's permissible. We eat it, and by eating it, and then learning and davening and doing mitzvahs and helping other people, so the animal gets to do that too. That's how the animal says Shema Yisrael. That's how the animal is able to give tzedakah. That's how the animal is able to study Torah, and so on and so forth. Not only the animal, but the grass and vegetation that the animal consumed. Not only the grass and vegetation, but even the minerals, the soil and the water that fed and nourished the vegetation, which nourished the animal, which nourished the person who now does mitzvahs. Everything's doing mitzvahs. But in the Midbar, they weren't doing any of that. They were totally disconnected. So Besar Kachem is a sacred act. That's another story. There's this notion of eating certain food. When you eat it, it's sacred in and of itself. So that was permissible. It was L'Shem Mitzvah. But L'Shem Taiva? For a desire? For what? K'nisasam shel b'nei Yisrael la'aretz. However, our entrance, the entrance of the Jewish people into the land of Israel, Shinso es ha-matzav, totally changed the situation. Me'ata, from this point onward, Hutala b'nei Yisrael hatafkid lahagdir kedusha b'techachayim ha'artzim. We now have been given the sacred mission and the mandate to bring holiness into the material reality that we encounter and we engage with. Lases ha'sa'ilum hagashmi, that we should make the material world, the physical world, the tangible world, a kli, a vessel, an envelope, a convention, for hashras ha'kedusha ha'lekis, for God's presence to become manifest. B'mizger azu, in that frame of existence, in that frame of mind, in that frame of living, yesh mokem gam la'achilis psar taiva, there's room for eating meat because you desire to eat meat. Why? K'dei la'haper gamas ha'besar ha'chulin l'chelik ma'avedas havaya. How else will eating meat become a part of serving Hashem? How will a cow ever say Shema Yisrael? How will the meat ever become sanctified? And this is b'mbechina, this comes from the dimension of what we call kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shumayim. All of your activities should be for the sake of heaven, as it says in Pirkei Avos, which is really an interpretation of the words of Mishlei, b'chol d'rochecha, in all of your ways, da'ehu, you know him. So this means to spiritualize everything we do on a material basis. Lafi ha'amur, based on this principle, on this explanation, yesh lema, we could say, shahalacha zu mizbatas gam ba'avedas ha'beira b'yameinu. The Rebbe says, this is a very interesting lesson that we can learn from this in our own life. In our own life. This is a halacha about the midbar. This is a halacha about antiquity. In ancient times, when the Jewish people didn't eat meat, and when they started to eat meat. How could that halacha apply to us? There's no midbar in our lives. There's no time we're not allowed to meet. The Rebbe says, well, actually, there is a very basic daily principle, which is an operation, and it's the reflection of this very halacha. B'chai ha'yoyim yoyim, in our daily life, yesh to matzav ha'doyim ilo matzav shol b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. There is a time in which we are just like when we're in the desert. Zeo matzav shol ha'odim b'boiker. This is when you wake up in the morning, before you're involved with the world. Lefnei tefillah shachris, even before you daven shachris. So b'shlav zeh, in adayim b'kechish l'odim, levarer l'zachich so ilo magashmi. Now is not a time to engage with the material world. Now is not a time to be able to engage with the physical world, the tangible world, because it can bring us down now. Now we're still like in a midbar. And therefore, what are we supposed to be doing now? Preparing for davening, studying Torah to get ourselves into the right frame of mind of davening, and then you daven, and then learn a little more Torah, give some tzedakah, and then you can do things. And that's why, l'chein neser alav lecha v'lishtes, you're actually not supposed to eat and drink now. Except you need for your health to drink something in the mornings. You shouldn't feel depleted. So you drink a little something in the morning, eat something in the morning, and nibble on something. But you're not having a meal in the morning. Mealtime is a wonderful opportunity to serve Hashem. However, mealtime means engaging with the material world. That's not for before davening. Only after davening. And the learning of Torah that follows it. And as the Rebbe says elsewhere, to give tzedakah. Then nitan lo adam akoyach lase gam bebiru vezichuch inyan elum. Then and only then is a person empowered to deal with the material world, and that's v'chinas b'sar taiva. That's like the idea of the meat you desire. So all that comes later. However, now we're like in the midbar a little bit. So we first have to make sure that we have all of our spiritual bank accounts full. We have to make sure we're where we should be, heart, mind, and soul, and have the yecholas, have the ability to deal with the material world, and then we can go and deal with it and elevate it, and this way we can bring the world up instead of the world bringing us down. And that's the story of Where's the Beef?